Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let's continue this evening's worship service with the singing of Psalter 134, all verses, 134, all verses. We want to call your attention to the reading of God's holy word, which will be from the book of Daniel, chapter 4, Daniel 4. Let us hear and heed the word of the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders! His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the length thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their inhabitation. It is thou, O King. Thou art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown, and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O King, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be in the beasts with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth for ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. May the Lord add his reading to his precious word. Let's now, in response to the reading of Scripture, sing together Psalter 84. both verses. I graciously will teach thee the way that thou shalt go. And what follows? 84, both verses. Let's now make public confession of our faith with the Church of all ages, and may each one of us say in our hearts before the Lord, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Congregation, let's now gather around God's holy throne of grace and seek His blessing and favor. Almighty, all-sufficient, and unfailing Lord of lords and King of kings, it is pleasing in the way of thy good providence to bring us under this means of grace for the second time today. And we trust, Lord, that it has not only been the second time, but that we have used this day given by Thee to seek out other means of grace, whether through searching Thy Word further, reading sound, solid biblical books. Lord, we give Thee thanks that Thou didst set this day apart for rest physically, but also, Lord, for us to seek after that rest spiritually that is alone in Jesus Christ. And for thy people redeemed to rejoice in that rest that Christ has given, purchased, and freely gives. But Lord, it's also a time for us to make preparation for that eternal rest. For Lord, that spiritual rest must begin here, if we would be partakers of that joy-filled, everlasting rest. And as we gather again for the second time, Lord, thou knowest those who may be restless, filled with anxiety, troubles, burdens, crosses, dark providences for which they have no answers. To them and to all of us thou dost say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, it's against our very natures to renounce all of self and to take refuge to the rest that is alone purchased, provided, and so freely given by Christ Jesus. But draw sinners to thyself, and bless thy people that maybe have perplexities and trials even on the second Sabbath of a newly begun year. But Lord, may those of thy people who may have rejoiced in thee today, and even so may do so now, give thanks and praise unto thee as a God who is so worthy to be served and loved and followed and obeyed. Thy people have learned the wickedness and the terrible way of sinful pride within self. Lord, wilt thou have mercy upon us all as thy word goes forth, and in the way of thy good providence, Lord, use it for those not yet born again, still dead in trespasses and sins, loving darkness rather than light, living the way of sin and living the lie rather than the way of grace and the way of truth. Lord, there is nothing too hard for thee, nor impossible. Thou hast said it thyself in thy word, I am the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And certainly not, Lord, and therefore arise, and through thy word preach this morning, and thy word tonight, use it mightily, to the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan, causing sinners to surrender at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to renounce all of self, sinful pride, self-exaltation, self-satisfaction, and to find all in the exalted Christ, who has made a full satisfaction for every sin. Lord, bless us richly in this night, so we may give glory to thee and to thee alone. Lord, we gather and thou knowest how we have gathered. Whether there has been prayer that has preceded the morning service, the evening service, at every service we may be blessed with. And how incumbent upon each of us to be busy in prayer prior to coming under the means of grace for a blessing on our own souls, on the souls of others, and it all may redound to thy glory. We are a needy people, and we are traveling to an eternity that will never end. And it is in this time And even tonight, that we must make preparations, as thou hast said in thy word, prepare to meet thy God. And that's from the youngest of our children here to the oldest one, and to those listening via the internet. Bless thy people worldwide. Remember all those who do listen. May they be able to hear the service, sermon, the message without any internet interruptions. Bless richly each and every one. Remember the congregation, every family. Provide. Remember our dear children. Work savingly in their hearts. And Lord, when there are those who may know childhood piety, child piety, oh, maybe the evidences not only reveal themselves, but give that our little children may follow thee. Such, Lord, in whom thou doth work, whether children, little, or young people, thou wilt certainly never forsake the works of thine own hands. Thou wilt assure us of it in thy word, as I was said in the Psalms, thou wilt perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. O Lord, bless each. Remember married couples. Strengthen the marriage bond where it's weakened or maybe shattered. Bring it back together, those that belong together. And for those, Lord, who may enjoy a strong marriage bond and a deepening of love, oh, give them thankfulness of heart for thy gracious and good preservation, and to make that love grow more. Be with those who have special needs. They've all been remembered this morning. We commend them to thee in a general way. Thou knowest each person's circumstances. Bless us all. Guide us into thy word. Open the scriptures. Remember those of thy servants who are finished already for the day in proclaiming and yet not in praying for divine blessing. We give thee thanks too, Lord, for the collection of last month. Lord, the liberality of the congregation is humbling. And we pray that the gifts received may be used rightly for the furtherance of thy kingdom. And that that liberality in giving may be the direct effect of the giving of Christ who gave his all. Lord, go before us. Bless us. Guide us. Provide for us. And wilt thou hear and answer our prayer and pardon all our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's continue our worship service with the singing together of Psalter 136, all verses, Psalter 136, and at this time your gifts will be received. The first collection is for the general fund, and the second collection is for Timothy Christian School. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Beloved congregation, you would think that after King Nebuchadnezzar had witnessed with his own eyes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being in the fiery furnace, along with the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he had announced at the end of chapter 3 what he did, he would prove to be a humble man. But he's not. And yet look at what he says at the end of chapter 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28, spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every nation, every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. It's amazing that here is a man that speaks so soundly. In fact, so soundly that we may be inclined to think that the experience he had and what he saw had an internal change in Nebuchadnezzar. He had been through, as we look at chapters 1, 2, and 3, many, many different things that proved to him over and over again that it's God Almighty and the sovereign God that rules and reigns. And he had acknowledged it. What does that tell us in the introduction? What does that tell us about you and me in the introduction? Well, it tells us something that I think is real in all of us. We can be like a chameleon. Boys and girls, you know what a chameleon is, right? It can change its color according to its environment. And as a result, we as human beings, because our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, we can be just like that. We know when to speak about biblical things. When we're in that kind of environment. But we also know how to speak wickedly and sometimes very God dishonoringly. When we're in our own kind of company that our heart leans towards. Here you have a man. Speaks so soundly. And yet there's nothing further from the truth. He's still a proud, self-satisfied, self-exalting man. And that's where we find him this morning, this evening, boys and girls, in chapter 4 of Daniel. We find him as the leader of the entire established world, known as the Babylonian Empire. He had conquered many prior to this. He had conquered the Assyrians. He had conquered the Chaldeans. He had conquered the Medes and the Persians. He had conquered the Egyptians. He had conquered the Jews and all the nations surrounding all these. Here was a man that had achieved by his own military power and prowess a tremendous feat. And then you look at the first three verses of chapter 4, where it indicates again he knows exactly what to say. But he's not sincere in his heart. Notice how he begins, Nebuchadnezzar the king. And the emphasis is on the fact that he's exonerating and exalting himself. Nebuchadnezzar the king. But notice, he has some measure of compassion because he says, unto all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. What a well wish from Nebuchadnezzar. We may be inclined to say, he not only has the heart of his people, the heart of his entire empire. He not only has a heart for his entire people and his entire empire, but he's wishing them well. When you hear the word peace, what do you think of? Well, the Bible does say, there is no peace save my God to the wicked. That's one form of the word peace. There's nothing inside of a wicked man's heart, a wicked woman's heart, a boy or a girl's heart that really knows anything of peace. But this word used here proves his godlessness yet. Because this word that he uses, peace be multiplied unto you, is only emphasizing and wishing his people to prosper temporally. It has nothing to do with spiritual prosperity and the peace that alone is in Jesus Christ. It sounds so good, doesn't it? We say, wow, he must be a godly man. Look at what he's saying. Peace be multiplied on you. But it was strictly an outward peace and prosperity. It had no depth to it, even though we may wish all peace and prosperity in a temporal way, but never at the expense of that spiritual peace that we need from Christ. He goes further. He even says, I thought it good to show the signs and the wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. He's even opening up about all that he has experienced. And he's telling his people that it's awe-inspiring and it's awe-instructing. It's an amazing thing what this God has done. Notice what he says in verse 3, how great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. And yet, it didn't have a power on Nebuchadnezzar. It didn't have a transforming power whereby his sinful heart and life and his proudful heart was changed. And he even acknowledges the everlasting reign of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion is from generation to generation. Who in the Bible comes to your mind that prophesied about the Lord Jesus? Boys and girls. His name, the first letter is a B. Balaam, right? Balaam and his donkey. He prophesied about the coming of the Lord Jesus. And yet he was a godless man, regretfully. But now we're introduced to something of real interest. And that's what we want to consider after this brief introduction. We want to look at verses 4 through 9 tonight with the Lord's help. And our theme for this portion this night is Nebuchadnezzar stopped in his tracks. And if the Lord spares and Lord willing, I am able to bring the word to you again, we will carry on with these verses and remind me if I'm called upon again to bring his word. We have here Nebuchadnezzar stopped in his tracks with three thoughts. First, through a terrifying nightmare, verses 4 and 5. Secondly, through deceiving wise men, verses 6 and 7. And finally, through godly Daniel, verses 8 and 9. Children, just imagine. When we get home, after maybe a snack tonight, we're going to be going to bed. And if there's peace and fellowship and unity in your house, and there's not strife and divisions and discord, You and I have the blessing of laying our heads down in our pillow, and for some, falling off to sleep very quickly. Others, taking more time. And it's always a blessing after a busy day, even a day of rest, as today is, that we can lay our heads down on our pillow and go off to sleep. We may marvel about the silence, the quietness, the sense of fading and sinking into our mattress because we're so tired, and we go off to sleep. All of a sudden, an alarm bell rings. An alarm bell rings. And that peaceful sleep is gone. You've had a nightmare. You've had a dream. And we all know about those. Children knew about them too. And some of you may have even gone to mom and dad's bedroom because you had that bad dream. And you need the comfort of mom and dad. Here's a man that went to bed also. What does he say here? I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. What does he mean there? After he had achieved all that he had, he was like the man who had that great harvest, as you read in Scripture. It was such an abundant harvest that he broke down his old barns and he built more new ones because the harvest was so massive. And he said, soul, take thine ease, for thou hast many goods laid up for many years. And what did the Lord say? Thou fool, this night thy life shall be required of thee. Here was this man. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine own, in mine house, and flourishing in my palace. The word rest here is an interesting one, and it's one that every single one of us look for. The word rest literally means free from care, at ease, content, and secure. This going off to bed that night was approximately in the 35th year of his reign. It was after he had achieved all those military victories, and he finally can now sit back and rest and feel secure. Every subject was under his domain. All had to bow to him, except for four individuals. There may have been many more, but there's four recorded in Scripture here: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And their godliness and their faithfulness to the Lord, young people, wrought them a rich, rich reward. The favor of God more than anything else in the world. But it also wrought promotions, as verse 30 tells us in chapter 3. And so all this Nebuchadnezzar has resolved. And he's resting, free from care, at ease, content, and secure. You know, it reminds me, we had the opportunity to travel this summer, my wife and I, and with our dear Gabe, for a month. And both my wife and I were always amazed at how many older people, or I'll even say old people, seniors, are traveling along these big motorhome buses. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't put that down. But I've often wondered, and I have to ask myself, we hear the term the golden years, after a person has worked so long and they've been able to gather an income and they've invested and they have, you name it, whatever else. We could say they have the world at the tail. and they're just riding along and enjoying life, the golden years. And indeed, if the Lord blesses us, there's nothing wrong with those trips. And the Lord only knows how many enjoying those golden years, so-called, are still without Christ and without hope in the world. Because then you can have all those years you want. But when death comes, then what? No rest, no ease, no security. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. The word flourishing here literally means growing green. Growing green. Now, we had a drought this past summer, and it was evident with the crops, unless there was irrigation. And we all know what a drought brings. It doesn't bring growth. It stifles growth. Plants can curl up and shrivel up and turn brown. But here, in his using this term, flourishing in my palace, I was growing green, expressive of his prosperity, the luxury in all that he had. And Daniel 4 tells us, Daniel 4 verse 10 tells us about that prosperity. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree. This is Nebuchadnezzar and his empire. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height there was great. The tree grew and it was strong. The tree grew. See, there was growth. It was vibrant. He had a prosperity which he loved. But he loved his prosperity without the God who gave him that prosperity. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. How about you when it comes to this? Flourishing. Business is going well. And that's a blessing. But when business goes well, are we inclined or have you experienced what it's like to forget God? You know, the Israelites were like that in Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. What do we read there? But Jeshurun, verse 15, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of salvation. See, he had everything his heart could desire, except the rock of salvation, except for Christ. And so the question comes to you and me. We've entered a new year, the second Sabbath of the year. The first week is behind us. Maybe we've had a prosperous week, a good week, business-wise, educational-wise, family-wise, marital-wise. But are we running away with all those things and forgetting the God who gives all those things? I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. Off to sleep. Here he is at ease. At rest, right? But anxiety hits him like that. He has a horrible dream. A horrible dream. He's troubled by it. It tells us that in verse 5. I saw a dream which made me afraid. Made me afraid. Here he is at rest, enjoying life. This was in his 35th year of his reign. This happened 1 year after it was announced, this dream. It happened 1 year after. He lived as an animal for 7 years. And 2 years after he passed away, God only knows about his heart and what it was at the end of his life. If we look at the end of Daniel 4, it should be our prayer and our hope. Lord, may that be my confession in truth because of thy grace. What was that confession? Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. And that's the last we hear of Nebuchadnezzar. That's the last. Never again. We hear about him in Old Testament prophecies that he would conquer. But that's the last we hear of him. And what he says prior to that is an encouragement. But the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let them that name the name of Christ depart from iniquity, Paul said. And so here he is in his bed, and he has a dream. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Now, what is this? First, it's talking about a dream. Then it's talking about a vision. Well, we all dream. Some are nice dreams. Some are not so nice dreams. Some cause us sleeplessness. But he has this dream. And then he can't shake it off of him. So even as he's awake, he's envisioning all these things that he's seeing, which are spelled out in the verses after these, what we consider tonight. He's seen this and he can't fathom. He can't comprehend. He's troubled greatly and he's afraid. He has a terrifying dream. You would think, congregation, that this man who has the world by the tail, who has such luxury, who has accomplished so much, who's at rest, how could such a little dream just shake him? What was God doing here? He was rattling his chain. He was knocking at the door of his heart. He was saying to Nebuchadnezzar, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting, as was said to Belshazzar in the next chapter, in chapter 5. He was arousing his self-made security and destabilizing his heart and his life and his mind and trying to bring him to that point where he would see, it's not well for me. How many things in your life, maybe even presently, have you in a quandary? Have you with some measure of anxiety? Have you with some type of trouble? And you can't resolve it. You wish it would go away. What was the Lord doing to Nebuchadnezzar? What is he doing to you here? He's knocking at the door of your heart with all these different things. If you read Revelation 3, verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you have troubles in your life, what should you be doing with those troubles? What does the Bible tell us to do with those troubles? The Bible says, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Did Nebuchadnezzar do this? No. And yet he was afraid. And the thoughts on his bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Yet he doesn't turn to the Lord. What's the instruction for us? When we have troubles, when we have anxieties, when we have conflicts, when we have difficulties, what should we do? What the scriptures tell us. We read in another scripture, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. But Nebuchadnezzar didn't do that. Nor did he, as the psalmist says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. He didn't do that either. Oh, you see, his forsaking God and still looking after the gods of this world and the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers would never bring him any peace. As with you and me, anything apart from God will never bring us peace. Scripture says it so clearly. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. But he doesn't turn to the Lord in prayer. He doesn't even recall his confession in the end of chapter 3, nor earlier in chapter 2. Nor does he recall how Daniel's God and his three friends made their appearance look so good when they didn't eat the king's meat. He recalled none of these things. He was surrounded by the power of God, the sovereignty of God, the goodness of God, just like you and me. And he forgot all about it because he turned to his deceiving magicians, his deceiving wise men. Therefore made I a decree. Oh, how good it would have been if he said, therefore I fell on my knees and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. That's what we should do. That's what we should do. If you have troubles in this year, and we will, the Bible tells us, Job said it, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. We'll have troubles. What are you going to do with them? What am I going to do with those troubles? Will we turn to the Lord right away? Or will we resolve to look to others? It's not wrong to get counsel if necessary. But seek godly counsel. But don't seek godly counsel at the expense of seeking God personally yourself for what you need. Because then you're still leaning, as the Bible says, on the arm of flesh. And the Bible says so clearly, put not thy trust in man nor thy confidence in princes. All we are being taught tonight, not to turn to any but to God and those who would guide us and lead us according to the scriptures and in a godly path as to what our needs and our troubles and our anxieties may be. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them. But they didn't make known unto me the interpretation thereof. I don't know how much you know the book of Daniel, but this is not the first time that these magicians and astrologers and soothsayers and Chaldeans came in. He called on them the first time in chapter 2. But what was different then than now? You know your Bible? You know the stories? In the first dream he had, he required the magicians and all those wise men to actually tell him what he had dreamed. And they said, no, we can't. We can't. You must tell us. But they couldn't. So what did he threaten with? The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive gifts of me. Ye receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. In chapter 4, what is he saying? He's saying, just tell me the interpretation, I'll tell you the dream. They had failed him the first time, and they would fail him the second time, because he was seeking answers for his riddles and his fears and his anxieties in the wrong place. Young people, are you going to be like that this year? When you have challenges in school with your studies or with your work or whatever, are we all going to do that? Are we going to turn to the ways of the world, or are we going to turn to God? Notice the influence he had. Verse 7, then came in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and I told them the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. What was the problem? What was the problem here? These were all godless men. But who wasn't there, as far as we know? A godly man. These wise men, as in previous times, had also deceived him now. Poor Nebuchadnezzar. And poor you, dear soul, if you look down roads to resolve your issues apart from God. If only he had turned to the Lord and asked, "What art thou telling me?" But what was the problem for Nebuchadnezzar? Pride and self-sufficiency. He was too great to come so low before the God who is so gracious and merciful and good. And oh, beloved congregation, let that not be what causes us to stay away from the Lord, our own pride. And it's there in every single one of us. The first coat we put on, the last one will come off. And as long as we have a proud, full heart, which God's children know about also, we will find it the greatest detriment in our serving, seeking, and following the Lord, because there always comes a clash. The Lord is a jealous God. He's jealous of his honor. And here's Nebuchadnezzar failing miserably. What was God doing? God was doing what may happen in your life this year, and I hope it does happen. He was hedging up Nebuchadnezzar's way. He was putting roadblocks in the way. He was leading Nebuchadnezzar ever so gently, but ever so surely, to that point where he realized that the wise men could not resolve his matters. And what kind of roadblocks will it take if you run into the same situations Nebuchadnezzar had here? Because you know what? We're just like Nebuchadnezzar by nature. We're no different. Self-sufficient, self-satisfied, self-exalting, self-promoting, all those things. I was listening to a sermon the other week, and a pastor said there's a lot of people that like the thumbs up. I said, yeah, how true it is. And you see that on different forms of the internet, thumbs up, thumbs up. And people go looking for the thumbs up. I got so many hits. I got so many people following me. So many people looking at this and that and the next thing. What does that do for one's soul before the Lord? Nothing. But it does reveal before God what that soul is like. Self-focused. Self-exalting. And so you see, God set up roadblocks for Nebuchadnezzar. What's the mindset of an unregenerate person? In Romans 5, we read these words. Romans 8, verse 5 through 8. Sorry, we read. This is the mindset of an unregenerate person. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's our picture by nature. A solemn picture, but a true picture as God reveals it in Scripture. And then we read in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 19 and 20, these words, profoundly and very clear. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That was the wise man. That was Nebuchadnezzar. And now Paul writes that to the Corinthians, but for our learning also, as to whom we should turn to. Really, we can give Nebuchadnezzar one label. And what was that label? He was a practical atheist. A practical atheist. What's a practical atheist? Person who confesses God. He did that, didn't he? He confessed God. For sure. Several times over. It's a person who confesses God, but lives as if there is no God. It's a person who confesses God, but lives as if there is no God. Nebuchadnezzar stopped in his tracks by this dream. Stopped in his tracks by these deceiving wise men. But what a mercy. What a mercy of God. Why? Stopped in his tracks through godly Daniel. And we do not focus on Daniel, though God used Daniel. We focus more on his godliness, which saturated the Babylonian Empire because he was second in charge. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego became like premiers. Daniel, as it says here, but at the last, they're quite surprising words. We inclined to pass over that. It says, but at the last. You know what Nebuchadnezzar did? He did what we so often do. We try out all other things. We save God for last. That's really what's here. But at the last, after all other avenues are exhausted, after all other things fail miserably, here is godless Nebuchadnezzar turning to godly Daniel. Which brings up two things. It's thought by some that Daniel was not part of this gathering of the wise men. For two reasons. First, he would not associate with the ungodly. Is that biblical? Does that have any significance for us today? It sure does. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. Verses 14 through 18. Again, we said, he saved Daniel to last. But Daniel was one. If he was not there, it's believed by most he wasn't there. And he was brought in afterwards, after the failure of the wise men. And his not being there was because he wouldn't associate with the godless. Here's what he practiced. And here's what's bound upon every single one of us. Whether baptized member, confessing member, there's bound upon us. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And notice the promises, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. How many of you and I include myself, how many of us are associating with people that drag us closer to hell than move us closer to heaven? Now, that doesn't mean, that does not mean that we are not to reach out to evangelize individuals for the good of their souls. But we are not to have all kinds of fellowship, as the Bible is teaching us here, and as Daniel proved here. We are not to have all kinds of fellowship with the ungodly world. And how many of us here tonight are finding more pleasure in following after the godless in the world, even sitting in the church here, than they are following after the godly? A warning, a second thing comes out of this. Daniel, as far as it's known, was probably not there. Children of God, it teaches us to remove ourselves as far as we can from the influences of sin, which can do detriment to our spiritual relationship and well-being with the Lord. It can't be broken, that's for sure. That's secure in eternity and sealed by Christ and wrote on the heart by the Holy Spirit. But we can certainly do spiritual damage to our souls when we affiliate with the world. What did Jesus say in his high priestly prayer? In the world, but not of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And we all have to take inventory. We all have to run our businesses. We go to schools. We go to universities. We're among people that think differently, that we do talk differently maybe. But oh, let us not be of that people that just follow the ways of the world. Because then there's no evidence of the grace of God in our hearts or lives. But here comes Daniel. At the last. But at the last, Daniel came in before me. And here it's proven again that Nebuchadnezzar was still godless, because he still held to his idol. What does he say here? Whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. He did not renounce his God. There's the evidence that he was still godless. And yet, he knew time after time the benefits that he received from God through Daniel, even confessed some of them. But his heart was far from God. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. And then it says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Why does it say it like that? The holy gods. It's not referring to the Trinity. No. The mindset for the people of those days when it came to many gods was there were evil gods and there were good gods. And what Nebuchadnezzar is saying here is Daniel is among some of those good gods. Because he's never done me a wrong turn or turned against me in any way. He's always advised me and counseled me in a way that brings honor to God and sets God before me. As he's done every Sunday here. Setting God before us, Christ before us, the Holy Spirit before us. But here he says, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar. Here again it's indicated. Master of the magicians. He doesn't say, godly young man. He says, master of magicians. He doesn't even say, a servant of God. You see how his speech berates him, as the Bible says. He's caught clearly as a godless man, full of pride, satisfied with his prosperity, having no cares, so he thought, and yet unsettled by a dream. Because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret trouble is thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen. and the interpretation thereof. God is best, but Nebuchadnezzar saved him to last. How will it be for us, congregation, in this year? We know God is best. We hear that Sunday after Sunday. Christ is best. Christ has come to give himself as a ransom for many. We hear all those good messages. But are we carrying on as godless? People of the Lord, learn from Daniel's absence from the court. He would not gather with the wicked. And yet God used him in the midst of a wicked empire. And sometimes God sets us in environments and in places to test us. Will you honor me? Or will you despise me? Because the Bible says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. But the Bible also says, they that honor me, I will honor. And that was the case with godly Daniel. He presented the truth about God over and over and over again. And the dream, the Lord willing, will be for next time. And what it teaches us. But go home and read the chapter. It's very interesting because it's all about how Nebuchadnezzar built his empire. And then it came crashing down. And he crawled as an animal through the field, where his claws became like eagle's claws. And his hair became like feathers on birds. God certainly knew how to humble him. And God knows certainly how to humble us. And in that humbling, may it not turn us from God and cause us to say with Pharaoh, who is the Lord that I should obey him? But may it rather cause us to say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And all the assurance is there that the bloodbath and the balm of Gilead is sufficient to wash away all our sins. Amen. Lord, we call upon thy most holy name. Thou art gracious and good. Bless thy word, the instruction. May we search our hearts. May it bear fruits to the glory of thy name. We thank thee for a godly Daniel, but we thank thee as the God of Daniel. And as the Christ of Daniel and of all thy children redeemed by blood, saved by grace, sanctified by word and spirit, and aiming to live dependently upon thee as the Father of all mercies and the God of all grace. Bless us as we leave from here. And where there have been blessings already upon the souls of this, from this morning or this night, to thee be all the glory, Lord. Remember thy servant, our dear pastor. Provide for him as he pastors, as he prepares, as he preaches, as he prays. And bless his ministry in rich measure among us in 2023. And may there be more souls born again. And may those who confess Jesus Christ live lives that do reflect it. As Confession of Faith, question 3, so clearly says, that we are to adorn our lives with good works. And that's the fruit of faith. O Lord, give blessings so that thou art glorified. We are made glad and rejoice in thee. Hear and answer our prayer. Pardon all our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's close with the singing together of Psalter 86. all verses, let all the earth Jehovah fear. Let all that dwell both far and near in awe before him stand. For lo, he spake, and it was done, and all with sovereign power begun stood fast at his command. 86, all verses. Receive now the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.